6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or Else Media.
The following podcast is going to contain spoilers, along with me, just a regular guy, talking about all the things I love, such as comics, movies, television, music, and books. So yeah, proceed at your own risk. Welcome to the first episode of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Steven, and it's been a long time, hasn't it? 2008, I think, was the last time I put out an episode of Just Another Fanboy. For those who may not have heard the trailer, Just Another Fanboy is a podcast that stretches all the way back to August of 2006, making this month the 13th year of Just Another Fanboy. Of course, I stopped podcasting with this show back in 2008. So while the name is 13 years old, I don't have 13 years worth of content, but I'm trying to make up for that now. Not really. I wanted to bring the show back and do something a month at a time, one episode per month, maybe longer episodes than what I normally used to do when it was just me talking about stuff. And again, if you didn't listen to the trailer, I'm going to warn you right now that I'm not really taking notes. I didn't really take a lot of notes here. I've written down the two books that I'm going to be talking about today. I've written down who creatively is involved in these books. And that's about it. Everything else is going to be on top of the old noggin. And that may turn out to be solid gold, 100% A number one steak sauce, solid gold podcasting, or it may not. I guess we'll find out. So this podcast is unofficially brought to you by the public library in Lawrence, Kansas. And I say unofficially because, well, they're not officially. Yeah, right away. They're not officially bringing you this podcast. This isn't their production. They're not giving me any money. No, what they're doing is providing me with a recording booth, a little studio, a small closet studio, which actually is rather nice. It's a nice little studio. And they're not only providing it to me, it's provided to anybody with a library card. I am able to book this sucker four times a month for 3 hours at a time. Now, I'm not going to be in here for 3 solid hours today when I do my other podcast. Oh, did I mention that I have another podcast? It's called Stephen or Else, and it's more sketch-based, and I do talk a little bit about comics there. I also do some news stories from around the world that I find interesting, and I just find little bits and facts and whatnot about things in the world, be it rubber bands or Conan the Barbarian or whatever, and I share that information with you. Plus, again, there are sketches. It's more of an entertainment show. It's edutainment, and it's more of a show. It's produced, it's scripted, it's written, and I spend a couple hours down here deep in the basement of the Lawrence Public Library recording that show. Now, why is that important? It's not. Not really. Nothing I'm really telling you is important. This is not an important podcast. If you were hoping to come into this show to get some just important stuff, if you are hoping to be part of something important, if you are hoping that 30 years down the road, when scholars were discussing podcasts and they say stuff like, well, of course, we've got to talk about Just Another Fanboy because it was the most important podcast in all of human history. And you want to listen to that and go, I was there. I was there from the beginning. I was part of something important. Well, prepare to be disappointed because this show is not at all important. But the reason I mentioned the studio, it's probably really only interesting to me, but what they have down here in the basement, and I'm calling it the basement only because it's underground. It doesn't really look like a basement. And I had a fairly nice basement growing up, at least, you know, in comparison to the basement I have now, which is a dirt floor and rock walls. But anyway, underground beneath the Lawrence Public Library, they have 2 studios and 2 suites. They call them creative suites. There's a large studio that a full band could come in and record music. And they do. I've been in here recording when folks were over there making music. They have this studio here, which is a small studio. You can get about 2 people in here, 2 microphones, 2 turntables maybe, and a microphone. I don't know. I could probably fit 2 turntables on this little table here. Maybe if I move some stuff around, the keyboard's in the way, you know, that would have to be moved. But behind me, so the big studio is just down the hall. It's literally maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 steps away. Right behind me are the 2 creative suites. There's one in which you can do digital editing, such as, you know, photos, audio, video, stuff like that. And then there's another one right next to it where you can digitize your music and your video. It's pretty neat. They've got a tape deck. They've got a VCR. I think they've got a turntable in there. And you can book that place and come in here and digitize all your stuff. And it's something I wish I would have known about when I was working at a particular, you know, pharmacy chain in the photo department. And I don't know if you're going to hear that behind me. Somebody just entered the hallway of the studio. And really, before I started tangenting there, that was kind of the point I'm trying to make, is that even though it's a recording studio, there's still some outside noise out there. Anytime anybody opens up the door to the studio, and it shouldn't happen, it should never happen, but they open up the door and you can hear it. If there's a band playing in the big studio down the hall and they're playing loudly, you can hear it. And if I'm in here recording Stephen or Else, I tend to get a little jumpy about that because I have to stop what I'm doing every time somebody walks through that door, which really isn't all that often. But I'm trying to make that show as perfect as possible, you know, as far as, you know, they're sketches and they need to have certain sounds in the background, I guess you could say. This one, don't care so much. If anybody's, you know, sometimes people will come out of that big studio and they'll stand out in the hallway and they'll talk to each other and they'll talk in loud voices. And I have to sit here and wait for them to finish talking so that I can continue. And of course, then that also makes me think, if they're standing out in the hallway and I can hear everything they're saying, then everybody out there right now can hear everything I'm saying. And that, of course, makes me a little self-conscious. Not as bad today as if I'm doing, you know, when I'm doing Stephen or Else and I'm doing the funny voices, that makes me a little self-conscious, thinking that, you know, when there's somebody in one of those suites out there that they possibly can hear what I'm saying. But I'm going to ignore it today because I'm not really going all crazy with things today. I can't remember the tangent I was going on earlier when I stopped. It doesn't really matter. So here's the deal. Just Another Fanboy is going to be a celebration of just stuff I love. Originally, it was a comic book podcast, and I will be talking about comics, and I'm going to talk about comics today. But it's also going to be about movies, film. I don't really watch film. I watch movies. Music, TV, books, other podcasts, maybe. Just stuff I love. Talk about my family, you know, that kind of thing. And again, it's going to be all off the top of my head. And then when I go back and edit, who knows what I'm going to keep in? Who knows what I'm going to take out? But in the end, you're going to get this. This is what you're going to get. And if you like this, great, because I've got a lot of it. I've got a lot buried deep within the cavernous regions of my body. Otherwise, I apologize because this is what you're getting. Of course, I don't really need to apologize to you because I bet by this point you've already switched me off, and that's okay. But that just means you're going to miss out on me talking about two really good comics. One really good comic and one freaking stellar, amazing, outstanding, I'm not sure how I lived this long without reading this comic. So the first book I'm going to talk about today is Middle West. This is volume one of Middle West. This was published by Image Comics on May 22nd, 2019, and it collects issues 1 through 6 of the comic book. It was written by Scotty Young with art by Jorge Corona, and the covers were done by Mike Huddleston. Now, what I'm going to do here, unlike maybe what I used to do in the past with other podcasts, I would literally go through the entire issue or book and tell you exactly what happened. And that's not what I'm going to do here with these. Probably not. I'm going to touch on some of my favorite moments, and I'm going to pull the books up digitally as I'm talking about them, because I read my stuff digitally nowadays. They're back in the day, you know, I had a $50 a month, $75 a month comic book habit. I would drive to the comic book store every week, and I would get my little stack of comics in that brown paper bag. And I miss that. I miss that so much. What I don't miss, on the other hand, is then once I'm done reading them, you know, you put them in a bag and a board, you stick them in a box, you got to store them. That's a pain in the butt. You run out of room after a while. I'm tired of the collecting side of reading comics. I just want to read them. And reading them digitally it's just the easiest way to do it, because you can store all the books that you want on your frickin' phone. Well, not all of them. You know, obviously you have a certain amount of storage space, but here's what I do when it comes to reading digitally. There's the free option, and I'm not talking about stealing. I'm not stealing these books. I go through Hoopla Digital. That's through your local library. I don't want to say most, but I think a lot of libraries participate in the Hoopla program. And it's where if you have a library card, you get the app on your phone or your tablet, or you can even do it on the computer, and you can download and read comics. You can download and read eBooks. They got audiobooks. I'm pretty sure they still got music on there. They did at one point. Let me just get the old phone out, and this will be really, really interesting podcasting. I'm going into my Hoopla app right now, and it's taking a moment. It's telling me that my Hoopla has been brought to me by my Lawrence Public Library. That's pretty cool. And let's see here. Let's go to music. Yeah, you got music. You can download music. You can get albums and listen to them digitally for free. Now, of course, depending on your library will determine how much you can get each month. Mine only allows me four items. I know others allow you way more than that. A buddy of mine that lives in Pennsylvania, what up, Harold? He gets like 7 or 8, maybe even 10. Somebody I know who uses the library over in Topeka, Kansas, which is the capital, they get like 20. So I only get 4. That's all right, because really in the end, I can't read much more than that in a month, especially when you combine it with the second way I get digital comics, which is through Comixology. I am a member of Comixology Unlimited. It costs, I think, $6 a month. The only way I can, you know, and here's the thing. I can't really, when it comes to $6 a month, that doesn't sound like much, but I'm a low rent fanboy. I don't want to say I'm the head of the family, but I'm the father of three. I got a wife, I got a dog, I got a cat, I got a job. You know, $6 a month could really go towards something else, I suppose what I'm saying here. But I got this thing called the Patreon, and I got some folks who contribute to the show, mainly Stephen R. Else. That's where it started through. That's over at patreon.com/StephenROr. And for as little as $1 a month, you can contribute to the show, and it helps me get comics. It's paying for my Comixology Unlimited subscription. I also use the money to help pay the bills, buy groceries, stuff like that. So that's always, you know, hey, you're helping a family out if you join up with the old Patreon. Now, this podcast is being released to everybody. Everybody's getting this. But the folks over at the Patreon who pay $2 or more a month, they get this 2 weeks early. You know, not that. I mean, I guess that can be a big deal. They're getting it 2 weeks early. Sure. But, you know, wow, I'm really having a horrible time trying to sell my Patreon. I'm not really good with that at all. And I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad at all. That's just the way I am. And I don't feel bad. Should I feel bad? Should I feel terrible about that? Should I feel bad that I can't sell myself? Probably a little bit. I should probably feel a little bad about that. I don't know. But if you only want to contribute $1 a month over at the Patreon, I've got three levels over there. There's the dollar, there's the $2, and there's the $5. And for as little as $1 a month, you're going to get my other podcast, which is called My Other Podcast. Isn't that clever? It's called My Other Podcast. And I do that at least once a week. For probably the past 6 months, it's been twice a week. I mean, we're coming up on almost 90 episodes at this point. By the time this goes out, it's probably going to be close to 90 episodes. And those go exclusively to my patrons. Every once in a while, before I rebooted Stephen R. Else, man, that's a whole backstory I'm not willing to get into here, because we were supposed to be talking about a completely different comic. And that's, you know, that's, if you listen to the trailer, that's what I do here. I tangent, and I have tangented quite a bit. So let's just get back to Middle West Volume 1. And the reason now I remember why I got on my tangent is because I was explaining how, you know, why I read books digitally. And so this one I got through Hoopla. I actually got both of them through Hoopla. This is one I've been looking forward to for a great long time. I've been hearing really good things about it. And let me just read you, well, if I can get the mouse to work on this computer, because suddenly the mouse has stopped working. That's not good at all. Let me just turn it off for a second here. Sometimes if you turn the, you know, a wireless mouse off and then you turn it back on and it's not doing any, now it's gonna, there we go. All right. The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tonton products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now back to Just Another Fanboy. So I said I wasn't going to go through every page and tell you everything that's going to happen in the book. I wasn't going to do that. So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the official blurb, the official description, the official marketing description that pulls people in and wants them to read the book. And then I'm just going to talk about the book and some of my favorite moments. So let's go with the blurb first. The lands between the coasts are vast, slow to change, and full of hidden magics. The town of Farmington has been destroyed, sending an unwitting adventurer and his vulpine companion in search of answers and to quell a coming storm that speaks his name. From author Scotty Young, who did stuff like I Hate Fairyland, Deadpool, Fortunately, The Milk. And I don't know if Fortunately is you know, they didn't do a really good job here because they didn't put the word and in when they put this list. So we've got I Hate Fairyland, comma, Deadpool, comma, Fortunately, comma, The Milk. So I'm assuming it's not Fortunately, The Milk. It's Fortunately and then the title, The Milk. Also with here, you've got artist Jorge Corona, who did Number One with a Bullet, Feathers, and Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack. So with these two guys, you got the tale of Abel, a young boy who must navigate an old land in order to reconcile his family's history. The perfect read for fans of dark fantasy like Return to Oz, classic Don Bluth animation, and or Miyazaki animation. Now, I know that Scotty Young, I don't know personally, I just know from listening to podcasts that he's a big fan of the Oz books. So it makes sense that he would write something that people would compare to Oz. So yeah, this is a book about a kid named Abel, and he lives in Farmington in the Middle West. And I can't really, you know, the Middle West is not our world, not at all. There's magic in the Middle West. There's magic in this world. It's kind of a fantasy world, and yet not. It's a modern world with fantasy elements, which I suppose you could say is urban fantasy, but it's not our world. It's got technology, but it's also got monsters and junk like that. So Abel, he's a paper boy, and he lives with his dad. His mom has left. She abandoned them for whatever reason, and Abel's a paper boy, and his dad is full of anger towards Mr. Abel, and they fight all the time. And it comes to a head when Abel is out delivering papers and he decides to go hang out with his friends and then shoplift some stuff from a convenience store, which gets him arrested. He and his dad get in a huge fight, and his dad turns into this freaking tornado monster and nearly kills Abel, and he destroys their house, and Abel runs away. And his vulpine companion is a fox that talks. And so they go on the run. And so this book is all about, you find out once they go on the run that whatever happened, whatever his father has done and is able to turn into this tornado monster, it seems to have affected Abel as well. He suddenly has this mark on his chest. And when he gets angry, because at one point as he's running away, his dad, in his tornado form, reaches out his tornado hand and puts a tornado finger right through Abel's chest. And that's what puts the mark on his chest. And so when he gets angry, he too starts turning into a tornado monster. And so he's traveling through the Middle West. He comes across an old man who's kind of a wizard. And the wizard tells him that there's a woman that travels with a traveling carnival. And she should be able to help him. And so Abel and the fox take off in the middle of the night, leaving, I know they take off, and they track down the carnival. And so they're living with this carnival. The carnival is in this particular town at the time, and they're living not with the carnival, but living in hiding, They're there for a couple days. They're trying to find this woman, this magician, Magdalena. And in order to eat, they take to stealing. And at one point, they steal a wallet from a guy, and some of the carnies see this happen. It's not a little girl. She's about Abel's age, which is probably about maybe 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. She sees him. She gets all of her carny friends, and they come after him. Well, the lady who runs the carnival, she intervenes. You find out that she is the old man, the wizard. She's his brother, and she knows magic. And as they're about to capture, I guess it is, Abel for stealing, he starts freaking out, and he starts to turn into the tornado monster, and she comes in and uses her magic. She says some spells and calms him down. And so then he asks her, you know, he tells her that he was looking for her because he needs her help. She tells him that she might be able to help him. She can probably help him. But the fact of the matter is not only has he stolen food from the carnival, he's also stolen from one of the people that have come to the carnival. And they can't have that. Their carnival can't have a reputation of allowing pickpockets to go free. And so he proposes that he stay with the carnival, work for them, work off their debt. She agrees because she's going to need time to try to figure out how to help him. So he goes to work for the carnival, and he ends up really enjoying it. And he finds a place among them. He finally finds what he feels is a place in life, and he feels comfortable there, and he feels he's accepted, and he's part of a family. Well, in the meantime, his father sets out to try to find him. And there, I'm assuming they don't really mention it, but he seems to be able to, he seems to be able to track them down. Or at least he's close enough behind them that he finds the old wizard, for example, and goes all tornado-y and wrecks where, you know, that guy's house and all that stuff. And so the wizard sends his pet crow off to warn his sister that tornado monster dude's coming. And so she packs up the carnival, and they set off, and they say, look, we got to go. There's a storm coming. We don't want anybody to be hurt. And we're actually going to skip the next couple towns to try to stay ahead of the storm. But she knows that's because Abel's dad, the giant tornado monster man, is coming. And she, at one point, she brings Abel into her little mobile office. And she tells him that he's paid off his debt. He's free to go whenever he wants. He says he wants to stay. She's happy to let him stay. Everybody there likes him. He works hard, and they've accepted him. And she says she's also ready to start. She thinks she's ready to start helping him. And so the first thing she does is she uses her magic so that the two of them can step into his own mind and see his memories, which seems to only take about 10 minutes before he really starts freaking out. And he starts to turn into a tornado monster. And when she comes out, she finds out they've been at it for 12 hours. And he's turning into this tornado monster, and it's too late to stop him. And that's kind of where the book ends. This was a really good book. Like I said, I've been hearing really good things about it. A lot of the podcasts I listen to and the people that I follow on Twitter. As it was coming out, I believe it's still the single issues are still coming out. But when these six issues were coming out, people were really talking it up. I'm assuming the books are still coming out because this did end on a cliffhanger. So I will be looking for volume two. But I found the story, I found the world very interesting. At one point, they have to cross a bridge, a covered bridge, and a troll is living inside the bridge. The troll gives him a riddle and says if he can solve the riddle, they can pass and go away. If he can't solve the riddle, or if he can't solve it within a certain amount of time, then of course she's going to eat him. Pretty sure the troll was a woman. He does solve the riddle, but he doesn't solve it in time. And so they have to get away from a troll. So that was fun. They're on a train at one point, and there's like these mutant, I think one guy was like a bird guy, and they try to roll him, try to get him some money off of him. And so there's this whole fantasy element that I really like with these monsters and mutant, animal people. And there's a talking fox. And yet at the same time, there's almost kind of a steampunk type of technology going along around them. There's a lot of the towns that they go into and that they show there are a lot of these like tanks on top of buildings. I'm assuming they're different towns. There's one on top of the train. that they're on, and there's one on top of one of the buildings in at the carnival. But you see a lot of these tanks, these clear, they look almost like vacuum tube type tanks that are filled with a pink substance. And I don't know what that's all about, but for some reason I find it really interesting. You really get the sense that this is a very old world. This isn't a new world. This isn't something that, this isn't a world that people are just, you know, they're just coming to their own and trying to, use the technology to eke out a living. This looks like a world that's been around for a great long time. And this is, and it even to a certain extent, maybe at some point it was a world like ours that has moved on to this crazy amalgamation of science and magic. Cause like the old man, when we, you know, he's a wizard and he's carrying this staff and it's got a light on top of it, but it's like a big light. It's like a big narrow light bulb type thing. So it's electronic, and we get to his house, which is made up of, it's just like this patchwork thing. There's a school bus that's part of it. There's more of these tanks full of this pink water. It's a very interesting world. It's a very interesting world, and it's very visually interesting. And visually, the comic book is stunning. Jorge Corona is an amazing artist. And it really, there's a part of me, it kind of bothers me when I look at a lot of the stuff that's coming out from Marvel and DC. When I look at their big titles, their popular titles, and I look at the art on these books, they just don't hold a candle to stuff like this. In my opinion, I really like this kind of stylized, almost animated type of art, such as what we got here with Jorge Corona. And then what we got with the next book I'm going to talk about, it's the same type of thing. It's just this very kinetic, almost. It almost looks alive. And whereas a lot of the superhero books I look at nowadays, the new ones, when I look at previews, it's just, the art does not look, it looks dead. It looks like art. It can be technically, it could look beautiful. They can be fully painted. And I don't know. They're just, this kind of stuff here is just, it's just beautiful. And I don't want to say I lean towards superheroes, but that was my bread and butter. That's what I grew up on. And I always end up whenever, because I go through these cycles where I'll read comics and then I'll stop, and then I'll read comics again and then I'll stop for a while. Then I'll get back into comics. And every time the wheel turns and I'm back to reading comics, I always immediately drift toward the superhero books and eventually move towards stuff like Middle West because A, the stories are better. And the art is always, it's just better. It's just better art. I think, people who tell these types of stories, in essence, they're independently made. It's Image Comics. So, this is the story that these folks wanted to tell with these characters. They created it from the ground up, and they have more skin in the game. And I think there's something to say about books like that. I think you can definitely, when you read a book like this, you can almost feel the love that these creators have for the story in the book itself, because they've done such a good job doing it, right? There's certain panels here that are pulled back, and the characters, their faces, he draws them so that there are no facial features on. It's just a blank. It's like the question. And even that, to me, doesn't feel like the artist is half-assing it, because I'm looking at a panel right now where Abel is standing there and his face is just completely blank. There's no eyes, there's no nose, there's no mouth. But everything else in the book, it's not like the artist was like, okay, this is a small panel, so I can't spend a lot of time on it. It's more like it was an artistic choice, because there's so much else going on in this panel. There's these shelves full of these different doodads and whatnot, and there's plants, and the fox is there, and there's just so much going on in this panel. And then the panel next to it, where there is absolutely no background whatsoever, and that's when he really takes a lot of time to give Abel, you know, the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the freckles, and there's a definite, you know, expression there of fear and anger. And it's just, man, I would love to see this kind of stuff. I don't want to say that art like this is ruined on books like these, because if anything, I love books like these more than stuff like Spider-Man and Green Arrow and Superman and whatnot. But if for example, the team from Middle West went to do a Green Arrow book, I'd be all over that. That would be freaking amazing. But stuff like that's never going to happen because creators like this have these stories that they want to tell and they want to get out there and tell them. And I get it because I have some stuff. I have some stories I want to tell. I wish I had, you know, folks that I knew that would help me tell these stories. I know Harold. Harold's right now, he's telling his own story. He's working on his own book that's going to be freaking amazing when it's done. And, you know, I envy that. I envy that about you, Harold. All right, so the second book I'm talking about this month is Murder Falcon Volume 1. This also was published by Image Comics, and the collection came out on July 10th, 2019, and it collects issues 1 through 8 of the comic book. And based on how this ended and based on what I've seen since, I think this is it. This is the story that this guy wanted to tell, and the story's over. It was written with by Daniel Warren Johnson. He also did the art, and Mike Spicer did the colors. And so let me read you the blurb real quick, and then we'll talk about the book. The world is under attack by hideous monsters, and Jake's life is falling apart until he meets Murder Falcon. He was sent from the Heavy to destroy all evil, but he can't do it without Jake shredding up a storm. Now, with every chord Jake plays on his guitar, the power of metal fuels Murder Falcon into all-out kung fu fury on those that seek to conquer Earth. From Daniel Warren Johnson, creator of the Eisner-nominated Extremity, comes Murder Falcon. Get ready to shred. Now, on the surface, when I first heard about this book, when I would see stuff about it in, you know, online, on the surface, the blurb is barely touches what this book is really about. I mean, on the surface, yeah, it's a guy who with long blonde hair, his name is Jake, and he plays guitar and he shreds and he plays metal. And through his music, this spirit creature named the Murder Falcon, which is like part man, part falcon with a big cybernetic robot right arm. And together they fight monsters, and the power of metal helps fight monsters. And so just on that premise alone, I was in. I was ready to go. I wanted to be a part of this book. However, as I have said, I am a low rent fanboy. And so I had to wait until the book was done, till they collected it, and it was on Hoopla. So once it was on Hoopla, I got it for August and started to read it. And within the first few pages, I'm hooked. It's like I'm seeing something that I've never seen before. And yet I'm seeing something that is so familiar, that is so a part of me, that I don't understand why it's taken me this long to see a book like this. So let me just talk you through these first couple pages. So right away, literally the first panel we have is a giant monster walking through the city, destroying things. People are running from it. There's a cop on the scene, and a tank comes along. They try to fire upon the monster. The monster looks like some weird demonic naked mole rat. If you've ever seen a naked mole rat, you know that those things are just all kinds of creepy. And this is a giant demonic version of a naked mole rat. And so the tank tries to fire on the monster. The monster destroys the tank. And suddenly a van pulls up. And this is like an old van from the 80s. It's the same model van that was the A-Team van, but this one's blue. It's got the spoiler on the back. It's blue. It's got orange stripes on it. And it comes squealing up to the scene. And a guy gets out, and he's wearing jeans and an orange t-shirt. He's got blonde hair flowing in the wind, and he's got a guitar and a gig bag on his back. And the cop sees him step out of his car, and he's, you know, "Who are you?" And the guy says, "I'm Jake." And then a woman starts screaming, "It's going to eat my baby. It's going to eat my baby." And the Jake yells out to the monster, "Hey, ugly. Yeah, I'm talking to you. There'll be no baby eating on my watch." And the cop's like, you know, like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And the guy, Jake, pulls out his guitar and he says, "I brought metal." So right away, I'm like, this is so my freaking book. And he starts shredding, and Murder Falcon comes out, And Murder Falcon, like I said, he's got the body of a man, the head of a falcon. He has this giant, like overly large robotic right arm. He's got a headband on, a flowing headband. He wears like a khaki pant, like khaki cargo type pants, big old baggy, like military style pants with chucks on. This book is right up my street. And so I'm reading along and I'm just amazed at how beautiful this book is, how great the story is, how awesome it is, because it just rocks. And it's just talking about metal and how metal is the only thing that can destroy the monsters. And I am just so into it. And there's a point there within the first couple issues that I'm just thinking to myself, this book is the most amazing thing I have ever read. And then suddenly the book gets better. And I'm like, hold on a minute, this book is getting better. The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy. So here's what you find out. The real premise, the real idea behind the book is there is a world outside of our own where these monsters dwell, and the guy who leads the monsters, Magna Chaos is his name, and he feeds off of our fear and our misery and our worry. Human beings spend a lot of time being afraid. They spend a lot of time being worried. They spend a lot of time just worrying over life, just all the little things in your life, paying bills, whether or not you're going to get into the right school, is this the job that you, do you really want to do this job every day? Is there a better job out there? Do I want to leave this job for another job? What if I get another job and it's better pay, but I hate it more than the job I'm at now? You know, that kind of stuff. We're always full of fear and worry and misery. And this guy feeds off of it. And the more he feeds, the stronger he gets. And he's sending monsters into our world. And his ultimate goal is to open this tear so that he can come through and take us all over and feed on us, just suck us dry. Well, come to find out that the only thing, bullets don't hurt it. None of this stuff hurts it, truly. What hurts it is music. And because music is the one thing that pretty much all of us have in our lives, whenever we're worried, even if it's something as small as, I had a bad day at work, and worry that we have all the time over little things. Am I raising my kids right? Am I eating right? Did I choose the right freaking burger to eat today? Should I have chosen something else? And the one thing that a lot of us have in our lives that will take that worry, that will take that fear, that will take that misery out of our life, even for the length of an album, is music. And so through music, certain people, when they play their instruments, can summon these spirit creatures like Murder Falcon to battle these evil monsters. And now, so for most of the book, it's all mainly focused, not just music in general, but specifically metal. And I remember reading at one point why he chose metal. Not only was he a big metal fan, but you know, there's just something about metal that is silly. And just the right kind of metal just makes you happy, right? Just drives all that stuff out of you. And so that's what Jake is. And well, then you find out as you go a little further along that Jake's had a really hard time in his life. All this crap has been happening to him. And I'm not going to spoil any of it because I'm going to say it right now. And I said it on Twitter. This is the single greatest comic book of the decade. Now, I don't read a lot of new comics, so I don't have a lot to compare it to, but I feel like the books that I've read that are newer over the last decade, I feel like I've been picking really good books because I've been reading stuff like Grumble. I've been reading stuff like Paper Girls. I've been reading stuff like Middle West, and I'm loving all that stuff, but this one just outshines them all. And, you know, like I said, I came to at one point in the first couple issues where I'm just thinking, this is the most amazing book. And then it gets better. That happens two other times in the book. I get a few more issues in, and I'm just over the moon over how great this book is. This is the single greatest book that I have ever read. And then it gets better. three times at least it did that to me, where I couldn't believe how amazing this book was and how much I was loving it. And then it just gets better. I mean, how many books have you read that you can say that about? That you can say that right away you were hooked. Within three pages, you realized that this was the book for you. By the end of the first issue, you realized that this is one of the greatest books you have ever read. And by the second issue, everything that you, when you thought it wasn't going to get any better, it got better. And then that happens two other times in the book. That was Murder Falcon. On the surface, and I've been trying to stress this to people, on the surface, it seems like a pretty silly book. And it is. It is silly, but it's a wonderful silly. But then there is so much more. It gets so deep at times in this book. And it really, I read on, when I posted on Reddit that I was reading the book, and somebody, one of the replies, somebody said that by the end of it, they were crying. And I was there. This was such an amazing book. I cannot sing its praises more. Now, like I said, I'm not going to spoil a lot, but I am going to talk about a couple of things. So we find out in the book that Jake used to be a member of a band called Bruticus. And we meet their bass player right at the beginning of the book. And we find out that they are no longer a band, that something tragic happened in Jake's life. I'm not going to spoil to you what it is. And due to that tragedy, he shuts himself off from everyone in his life. He has such a fit of anger at a practice. Now, this is a practice that they had. They were supposed to play a show in which a rep from a label was going to be there. They had reached a point where they were hugely popular. They were about to be signed. They apparently had released some of their own stuff, because we find out that they are actually very popular in Japan. But they had a label rep coming to this show. They were probably going to be signed, and he doesn't show up. He doesn't come. He comes to practice the next day to find out that they have this other guitar player, and they've been practicing with this other guy just in case Jake flaked out on him. And he throws a huge fit, and he smashes his guitar against an amp, and he breaks his guitar. And then at that point, he just stops playing. And so by the time he meets, you know, Murder Falcon, it's just, he's at a very low point in his life, and he has to conquer this fear and this misery that he has put himself into because of this tragedy in order to save the freaking world, you know, to save the known world as we know it. And it is just so good. It's such a good book. It's got such a good message. And of course, there is metal all over it. There's a point there in the first issue where after they battle their first monster, he and Murder Falcon are sitting on top of his van, and they're drinking beer, and they are listening to the radio. There's a stereo, and they're rocking out. This band is just shredding. And there's lyrics in the background. They do a really good job of the onomatopoeia of the instruments, but they put the lyrics to this song in the background of the panels, and I didn't recognize the words. Now, I grew up listening to metal, but I also grew up in Kansas. I had a buddy that I grew up with named Paul, who collected all the magazines. I was really into metal, but I was one of these guys that once I discovered certain bands, that's kind of what I stuck with. And every once in a while, you know, he'd come to school and he'd be like, "Hey, listen to this new band." He was always the one that would bring me the new bands. And at one point, my music tastes started to differ from him. I started to getting into more rap and then the heavier stuff like Anthrax and MOD and SOD and stuff like that, and Megadeth. And he stayed more with the Poison and the Motley Crue. But he started to branch off into more what I would consider obscure metal bands. They weren't. I think if you asked most people who grew up really listening to metal, they would tell you that some of these bands weren't obscure. But this band, these lyrics were from an actual song, and the song ends and another song comes on. And so I look up these lyrics because I didn't recognize them. And they were from a band called Racer X that had a guitar player named Paul Gilbert. Now, I had heard of both Racer X and Paul Gilbert. I had an album by a band called Mr. Big that Paul Gilbert was in with Billy Sheehan. Was that his name? Billy Sheehan? Now I got to look that up. Let's see. Mr. Big Band. Well, let's see. Yeah, Billy Sheehan. Paul Gilbert, Eric Martin, Billy Sheehan, Pat Torpy, and Richie Kotzen. Anyway, so I remember who Paul Gilbert was, but apparently one of his first bands was this band Racer X. And I remember that Paul was really into him, but for some reason, I don't remember ever really getting into him. I don't even know that I really gave him a chance. I think that's kind of the way my memory was, is that Paul was really into Racer X, and I just never really gave him a chance. But because of this book, I went out and I started looking up stuff about Racer X, I especially wanted to listen to these two songs that they featured in the book. They were both awesome. They both rocked. I am now in the market to buy eventually some Racer X albums when I have some money that I can, you know, purchase. I'll probably check them out through Spotify or something, I guess. I don't know. But that happened because of this book. And then I discover that there is an actual this guy, Daniel Warren Johnson, he and a buddy of his recorded a whole album under the band Bruticus. It's out there on Bandcamp. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet. I've listened to a couple songs. They frickin' rock. He shreds. There doesn't appear to be any lyrics. It appears to be all instrumental. So it honestly, I think, would be a good thing to listen to while you're reading this book. So if you haven't read the book yet, maybe go get this album out on Bandcamp and listen to it while you're reading the book. That would probably be cool. I wish I would have done that. But I'm not sure what else to say, because I just love this book so much. Here, let me tell you how much I love this book. So I waited for the collection to be put together. I waited till it was free on Hoopla. I read it on Hoopla. I loved it so much that I turned around and went to Comixology Unlimited and bought all 8 issues. I'd already read it. Why do I need to buy the 8 issues? Because I know I'm going to read it again. And honestly, I just finished the book, bought the 8 issues, opened up the first one, and I started reading it again. And it was just as enjoyable, literally reading it 3 days after I had finished already reading the first issue. So this is the book that I'm going to be talking about a lot, because I think everyone should read it, because it was that good. Now, do you have to enjoy metal to enjoy the book? Probably not. I mean, I think it enhances your enjoyment of the book if you were into metal, but I don't think you have to be a fan of metal music to enjoy the book. There is a point in the book where they end up in Japan, and there's a symphony, like classical music, this symphony, this strings and brass and percussion. They help in this battle, and they have all these spirit creatures, and it's, oh man, it's so good. That was one of the moments in the book that I was just like, this has suddenly got so much better. There's another band that we meet at one point in the book that are from Norway or somewhere like that. And they have a black and white face paint on like Kiss, but they're not all in costume like Kiss. But his art in this book, there are scenes where he's drawing these bands playing their instruments, and I can see that in music videos or the many shows that I have seen live, the many bands that I have gone, not many as in M-I-N-I, but M-A-N-Y, okay? Let me get that straight. The multitude of bands I have seen live, that's how these guys stand. That's how these guys play. It's just so good. It was just such a good book. And I could probably sit here and talk about it for another hour, but I'm not gonna. And I think I've talked about all the stuff I really wanted to make sure that I got across about this book. But as this show is supposed to be a celebration of the things I love, this book is something that I am very dearly in love with at this point in time. And I probably will be for a long time. This is going to be one of those books like Proof that I'm going to be talking about for a great long time. And one of the first things I did after I finished reading it and I bought all the issues and I listened to Bruticus on Bandcamp, I went to Twitter. I found that Daniel Warren Johnson was on Twitter. I started following him. I tweeted at him and thanked him for this book. And I think I do think more people need to do that. People who create stuff, Yes, they like the money. They need the money. They're trying to make a living creating this stuff, but they're also creating this stuff from themselves. They're pulling these stories. They're pulling this passion for these stories out of themselves, and they're putting it out there. It's like they're just unlocking a piece of their selves, and they're just putting it out there on display for everybody to see. And if you can just tell someone, I saw what you created, I listened to your music, I read your book, I saw your painting, I whatever, and I really enjoyed it, and I want to thank you for creating that because it meant a lot to me. Man, that means a lot to creators. I think it does anyway. So that's the episode. That's the first episode of Just Another Fanboy. I hope you enjoyed it. I've enjoyed just sitting down here talking about two books that I really had a good time reading. I really liked Middle West. I know I talked more about Murder Falcon, but that's just because I did like Murder Falcon more. But I did really like Middle West, and I'm looking forward. I'm gonna read more of that as it comes out. I think one of the reasons why I'm really bearing down on Murder Falcon more than Middle West is because there's no more of Murder Falcon. That's it. Those 8 issues. That's it. And so far I did like it a lot more than Middle West. And you know, it tells you that Daniel Warren Johnson is the creator of a book called Extremity. So I went out to look for that, and that looks really good. So that's going to be the next thing I get out of Hoopla. And if I end up liking it just as much as I liked Murder Falcon, then I'll probably buy those freaking issues again or as well. But it's like 2 volumes worth of a collection. So there's a volume 1 and a volume 2 out there on Hoopla. I've already used my 4 borrows for August, so that's got to wait till September. So who knows if I'm going to talk about that on an upcoming episode or not. But here's what I do have planned. If you haven't listened to the trailer, I know I wanted to, in October, I'm going to do an episode about Monty Python. October is Monty Python's 50th anniversary. 50 years in October of 2019. The first episode aired in October of 1969 on October the 5th. October 5th, 1969. So for Stephen or else, all 4 episodes you're going to get in October are going to be Monty Python themed. If you're listening to Stephen or else, you know that I do like the Franks and Beans sketches. I'm already planning on doing sketches that will be homages to other Monty Python sketches. I'm going to do the information bits will probably be stuff about Monty Python. You know, those are going to be very Monty Python themed, but for the Just Another Fanboy episode in October, so it's going to be your 3rd episode, it's going to be all about Monty Python. And looking forward to that. I want to do an episode on the Aquabats. That is a band that I have recently discovered over the last couple years. They've been around since the 90s. They've had a TV show called the Aquabat Super Show that I love. They're coming back in a big way thanks to a big Kickstarter campaign. They're going to have more albums out and some more shows, and looking forward to all that new stuff. So I want to do an episode on the Aquabats. I know I want to do an episode on Madman, which was probably one of the first books that I truly fell in love with, and that was back in the 90s. It was a Mike Allred book. And I know I want to do an episode on Superman, so that's what? Monty Python, Madman, Aquabats, Superman, September, October, November, December. So that's your 2019 for Just Another Fanboy right there. I do encourage you to leave a review, rate this show wherever you get it, tell your friends about it, all that good stuff. I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of big closing thing like I do on the other shows. I've already talked a bit about my Patreon, but if you want to, you know, if you want to send me an email, you can do that at StephenOrElse@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Stephen or else, you know, if you want to tweet about the show there, go ahead. That's where I'm at. So until next month, I'm Stephen, and I'm just another fanboy. Take care of your teeth.
Bye, Daddy.
Good job.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.